Okay. So just a synopsis. Perek Lamed Beis in Tanya, the 32nd chapter in Tanya, the famous chapter, where the Alter Rebbe talks about Avas Yisrael and how we achieve this idea of Haftal Re'ach HaKamoichot, to love your fellow Jew like yourself. And we, for those on video, it's a bit dark because the lights have gone out, but we're managing. So there's two types of love, right? There's two types of love. There's a love we have, and love to someone, it's called an Avas Sichlis. It's a rational love. I like the person, you always say, you know, I really like a person, he's such a good person, he's a kind person, he's a refined person, he's, in Yiddish they say, he's a bachente person, and he does good, I don't know. I love his personality, I love his temperament, all these things, right? All these things describe a rational reason to love the other person. When it's a more sort of intimate love or an affectionate love, like a marriage, something like that, you say there's chemistry, there's love, whatever the case, it's compatibility, whatever the reason is, right? And that's all very nice and all very good, and we can work on that, and we can work on seeing the greatness of other people, even if we don't notice them, we can work on that, on respect and love for other people and so on. But that's not the love you have for yourself. The love you have for yourself is an unconditional love, it's an intrinsic love, it's called an Ava Atzmis, right? If a person's basically healthy, they have a certain level of self-love. They'll take care of themselves, they'll love themselves because they're themselves. They are, right? Comes along the Torah, and the Torah says, V'yahavta l're'acha kamoicha. You should love another person like yourself. How's that possible? He's not me, what do you mean? How about if he has things I don't like? So it's interesting. When it comes to ourselves, it doesn't matter that we have things we don't like, because we say, I'll call p'shoim t'chase avu. Right? Self-love covers over all sins. Sometimes it works with the love of our children. We see no bad, we see no evil. Why? Because we don't have a rational love to ourselves. It's an intrinsic love. It's Ava Atzmis. Right? So it's actually a huge question. How is it possible? And before I should talk about it, there are different interpretations. Some of the interpretations take it a little bit not literally. I mean, it doesn't mean mamish like yourself. It means, you know, things you don't like done to yourself, whatever the case is. But in Tanya, it takes it very literally, and so does other Mefarshim also. You have to re'acha kamoicha. And the question is, how do you reach that? How do you achieve that? And how's that possible, anyways, right? Okay. Now, so that's the purpose of this parak, and what we're going to see is that it's only possible through a very, very foundational perspective that comes through what we spoke about before, and it comes through, in general, what Tanya wants to accomplish, and Chassidus wants to accomplish. And we're going to learn, this is something that I'm just adding in, because I was learning it and preparing it myself, and it dawned on me that this, when you learn this prayer and understand it properly, it will really also shed light on a practical level, how the Rebbe used to view every single yid, like without exception. You have to understand why I'm saying this, because it used to be in previous. This is just my own thought, but in previous generations, this couldn't be applied to the extent it can be applied today. In previous generations, Tanya was written for people that learned Tanya in cities where everyone was learning Tanya, everyone was learning Torah, everyone was religious, whatever the case is, right? So it's a bit easier. But it extended so far, and now I mean when we must war in the Western world, and you know, after the war and so on and so forth, when the previous Rebbe came to America and the Rebbe, and now it extends to, like, we're much more connected to the wider community, to the wider world, right? And the, not the debate, but the questions came up, and the much more, I suppose, much more in recent times, the perspective came up, what do we do with people who are, like, opposed Torah mitzvah, so don't have the, or don't keep Torah mitzvahs, or all that kind of stuff, right? Or maybe aren't good people, or better people, or less people, all that kind of stuff, and how do we treat them, what's our view on them, right? So really it's rooted in the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov really showed us the way. But you know, when we talk about the Baal Shem Tov, he used to go out and he used to bring close even simple Jews, right? One of the things we talk about the Baal Shem Tov came and he showed how you have to have Avos Torah for every Jew, and even the simple Jews. Pre-Baal Shem Tov, there was a kind of distinction, a divide between the Torah scholars and the simple people. Baal Shem Tov did away with that because every Jew has an neshama. When you think about that, it's true, but truth is it was more about people who were still very much connected to Yiddishkeit. It wasn't like they were just simple Jews. They didn't know how to learn, so they said Tillim, whatever, but I mean it was like, right? It wasn't to the extent that we have it today, where you talk about every yid, or even a yid that's fighting you, every yid that's opposing Torah mitzvahs, or and so on and so forth, right? So it will come out, it will be very clear when we come out and we see how it works. Now, what's the context of this perek? And you'll see why I'm going to say that in a minute. The context of the perek is that the last couple of chapters, if you remember correctly, he spoke about what does a person do when there's a spiritual blockage, right? Yeah? And explain why we have a spiritual blockage, and he explained that consciously we are the nefesh abamis, that's who we are consciously, even though deep down we're the nefesh alakis, and so on. And there was a lot that was explained about diminishing the importance of the nefesh abamis and the body in general, right? There was even a part where the Alter Rebbe talks about having the Yetzer Tov scream at the Yetzer Hara, you're disgusting, you're nothing, you're all that kind of thing, in order to open up the blockage so that we can connect to the neshama, correct? Doing the cheshbon nefesh, not judging other people, and maybe when it comes to our nefesh habamish, we're actually much more, we're lower than other people, you know, we don't grow enough, all the kind of thing, all the things about putting down the goof. And then at the end he said, well, but at the same time, that shouldn't bring a person to be sad, because we can diminish undervalue the nefesh habamis, the animal soul, and at the same time understand that at the end of the day who we really are is the neshama, and have tremendous simcha in the neshama, and understanding and explain how the Zohar says that we can carry simcha and sadness at the same time, or bitterness, all that kind of thing, right? We did a few chapters of that. You remember, I imagine, right? So says the Alter Rebbe, let's start the prayer. He says like this, Hine. Al yidei kiyum advarim anal. Through fulfilling the things we spoke about before. Liyois gufoi nivze v'nimas be'enov. That the body, including an Efshar Bamis, I guess, should be like despised and insignificant. Be'enov, in our eyes. Rak simchasoi tiya simchas hanefesh levada. But the simcha that we have, the joy that we have, should really be a joy coming from the fact that we have a neshama, right? If we can accomplish all that we spoke about before, how our whole focus becomes the neshama, our whole simcha becomes the neshama, and so on. Harei zu derech yishara, this is a straight path, the kalon, an easy path. It's not easy to accomplish, but once you've accomplished it, it's an easy path. Lovoi lidei kiyum mitzvahs, to come to the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Ve'ahavta l're'acha kamoicha, right? L'chol nefesh mi'yisrael, to every soul of the Jewish people. L'migodol ve'at koton, from big to small. Now that addition, that last phrase, he just put l'migodol ve'at koton, is an incredibly critical, important phrase, because what he's saying, I'm specifically talking about ve'haftal re'acha kamoicha, which means I'm not talking about a rational love, I'm talking about an intrinsic, essential love, an unconditional love, which means that you love a person from big to small. Now, are there differences between people? There certainly are, in many, many ways. Some people behave better, some people behave worse, some people are nice people, some people are less nice people, some people are refined, some people are unrefined, some people are kind, some people are unkind. I mean, there's all kinds of differences between people, right? Some people are.
At the level of the Yachida, is there a difference?
No, we'll see, but how do you get to that perspective, right? Bottom line, on a conscious level and a practical level, are differences between people? Of course there are. There's even differences between parts of the neshama, which we're going to see in a minute, but, right? But that's not, so, but even if you bring yourself to Even if you bring yourself to love another yid, but you still recognize the differences between them, that's not really v'haftor e'echa kamoicha. Instead, you're not really loving him like yourself. Right? That's why he says, to come to the level of v'haftor e'echa kamoicha, kol nefesh b'Yisrael, every neshama, l'migodel v'at katan, from big to small. In other words, you're going to love everyone 100% equally. Right? In other words, even if you bring yourself to love everyone, but it's a rational love, you're going to make difference. It's going to be a different love for different people. Right? I guess one way to understand this, you know, like a parent loves all their children, but the bottom line is when they think about it on a conscious level, often they do make differences. They don't always show the same love to everyone, right? Yeah, when push comes to shove, you have to do something for them, if they have to save them, whatever, they'll do equally. But not always, you know. Say no, after Rech Kumoicha means to love everyone equally, completely equally. And love with Kumoicha, like you love yourself, which is not a rational love, it's an intrinsic love. Why? So he says like this. Kima'achar shegufoy nimas umesuev etzloy. Because once a person develops the perspective that his body is, the body just as a body, right, as a physical thing, is despised or disrespected from himself, right? In other words, that he stops focusing on the body, basically, right? So what does he focus on then? V'ho nefesh, v'ho ruach, the soul, the spirit. Now, I'll frame it a little bit cryptic in the next two lines, and that's why I'm going to explain it to you the way the Mefarshim, and the way the Rebbe, and the way the great Tanya teachers explain this. He says, if you focus on the soul, then he says three things. It's hard to notice when you learn it, like what the division of these three things, but it is three distinct things. I'm going to read them and translate them and then explain them. V'anafesh v'haruach, the soul and the spirit. One, number one, mi yoydeya gdulosan emalosan, do you really know their worth? In their origin, in their source, in their root. Be'elokim chayim, how they are rooted in God himself. Number one. Number two, b'shegam shekulam mas'imois. Secondly, they are all equal. Thirdly, v'av echad lekulano. There's one father to all of us. There are actually three distinct things that he's saying. Now let me explain. First of all, what the Alter Rebbe is talking about here is not the neshama the way it's descended and enclosed in our body. The Alter Rebbe is talking about the neshama the way it is in its origin. Now let's understand this. There's an evolution of the neshama, right? I think I've told this before. The Gemara says, Kabbalah, we learn also that when a gestation of a body takes place over 9 months, simultaneously there's an evolution, a gestation taking over the soul, right? Soul doesn't just happen. It develops, it evolves. The soul has a root, the soul has an origin, right? A simple analogy for that is just everything has an origin. I mean, not only neshama, but everything has. So, for example, if you plant a seed and from that seed grows a tree, right? That means the tree was originally in the seed, correct? Means the leaves were in the tree, the bark was in the tree, in the seed. Now, in the seed was a difference between the leaf and the fruit and the bark? No, all together, right? And the further you go and the deeper you go into something's origin, the less difference there is, okay? Now, the neshama has quite a journey of evolution. The neshama starts off in the essence of Hashem. The Zohar tells us at the very, very root of it, right? The neshama is one with Hashem. Then we have the neshama, how it comes through different worlds, from Atzilus, from the Chochmah of Atzilus, all the way down, until it gets to us, until the part of the neshama, at least, that's supposed to be enclosed in us, comes down to us. Now, when the neshama evolves, when the neshama comes down to us, there are differences. Each neshama manifests itself in a different way. There's what we call in Chassidus, there's a tziyu, there's a certain, he said it in Perek Beis, he said it in the second Perek. Alter Rebbe even asked the question, how can we say that the neshama is one with God? Right? We said when we learned about the neshama being a piece of God, so to speak, the blowing of God, right? So Alter Rebbe asked the question there, what do you mean? There are differences in neshamas. How can you say they're all a piece of Hashem? If they all come from Hashem, then why are there differences, right? But he says there's differences. He explains because you have the neshamas that are compared to the head, the neshamas compared to the feet. There's differences in neshamas. There are neshamas that are very, very spiritual, and neshamas that are that can accomplish great spiritual lives, the shamas that can't. Every shaman has a role, every shaman has a tafkid, every shaman is different. Right? There are differences in the shamas, there's nothing to talk about. However, the Alter Rebbe is saying But I want to talk for a moment about the neshama not down here. Let me talk about the neshama the way it is in its origin, in its source. Now, even the neshama in its source has various levels. There's different stages of the neshama's evolution, even in the higher worlds. Right? So the first thing the Alter Rebbe says is, first of all, if you focus on the body, so we're completely different. Now, if you focus on the soul, look at the soul the way it is in its origin. Even in its origin, where the neshamas start to be distinct from each other, yeah? How do you know which one's greater than the other? So you have a neshama that in the world of Atzilus, it's a neshama that's destined to be a foot neshama, a heel neshama. Another neshama is destined to be a head neshama, right? How do you know which one is really greater than the other? So, the first path to Avos Yisrael is you're focusing on the soul. Look at another yid and you say to yourself, one second, that yid is different to me. It's lower than me, higher than me, different to me, higher than the other person, lower than the other person. How do you know? You can see the neshama the way it is in its shorish. You can see the neshama the way it is in its source. Mi yodea, who knows its attributes or its mailah or its greatness? You don't know what's greater than the other. Number one. Number two, he says, and by the way, I want to show you something. He says, "Mi yodeg the losam alosam b'sharchan and mekoyron, who knows their greatness and their attributes and in their source and in the origin." Be elokim chayim. Use the word elokim chayim. He especially uses the word elokim here. Right? Okay, no problem. Sorry. Thanks. Right? Why does he use the word elokim? What's the name elokim? Elokim is the word of tzimtzum. Right? As soon as Hashem applies Gevurah, as soon as he applies Tzimtzum to the process, already you have division. So in other words, yes, there is a place where the neshamas start to be affected by the process of Tzimtzum, and they're with Elokim Chaim, the living God, but we're using the word Elokim, how God manifests himself through the process of Tzimtzum, because the neshama also goes through a certain process of Tzimtzum, different to everything else, but it still goes through a process of Tzimtzum. There's a place where the neshamas start clearly different. They start to branch off into different, distinct manifestations and siurim and roles and so on. But even in that thing, how do you know what's great and what's not? Number one. Then he says, "B'shegam shekulam mas imois." But actually, they're all equal. If you go higher than just Elokim Chaim, you go a little bit higher in its source, actually, there's a part where the neshama is just equal. They're all equal. Right? All equal. What does it mean, all equal? There's a part of the journey of the evolution of the neshama where there are clearly multiple neshamas. There are different neshamas, but they're all equal. Right? Maybe the seed is a good example. I'm not sure exactly what an example for that is, but maybe the seed is a good example. There are clearly different aspects of the seed, but when they're in the seed, they're all equal. You can't differentiate between the bark and the tree and that. They're all equal. Thirdly, he says, on the deepest level, Ve'av echad lekulana. We have one father. What does that mean? Because there's a part of the neshama that actually all rooted in the father, and it's actually not even a distinction between. We're all one. Right? All one. Now this is very much connected to what it says in Arizal, I think it is, where he talks about how one can achieve ve'ahavta re'acha kamoicha, how one can achieve unconditional love for another person. And he says it's got to do with the fact that all Yidden are considered one body. All Jews are considered one person, one body. Right? Just like in a person, if something's wrong with your right hand, is your left hand going to get angry with the right hand? Right? Doesn't make any sense, yeah? It's all one. If your hand is hurting you, every part of you is affected. Every part of you is right. The head doesn't become angry with the hand, or angry with the foot, or the foot with the hand. It doesn't make sense. All part of one body, right? Okay. That's true, but the question is, how do we understand that? In other words, there is this question before Tanya came along, there's this question about how we achieve after Echam Echam before this parak. And the answer that's given by Rizal is because we're all one body. The question is, what does that mean? We're not. We're all different. So the Alter was trying to bring us along and to understand how we get to that fact. How? Right? So therefore the Alter Rebbe says here that therefore you have to look at the neshama. First of all, you have to start looking focused on the neshama, not on the body. which you can only do if you apply what we learned the last few chapters. Understanding that the body is a secondary thing. Understand that the body is clipper. Nefesh Abam is standing in the way. It's creating a block between us and Hashem, and therefore really needs to be put down, needs to be put on the side, needs to become secondary, and the primary focus of a person has to be the Neshama. Once you get there, you start focusing on the Neshama. Okay, now look at the Neshama, the way it is in its Shoresh, the way it is in its origin. And he talks about the three levels. First of all, in its origin, you don't know who's greater and who's not. Second of all, even when they're not different, but they're all equal, there might be multiple neshamas that are all equal. And really, the deepest thing is that not even multiple neshamas, they're really one. Yeah? She says, V'lochein, therefore, nikru kol Yisrael achim mamash. Therefore, all Yidden are called brothers. Mishat shoyrish nafsham ba'ashem echad, because of the source of their neshama in the one God. Rak shagufim mukhalakim. The division, the difference, the differentiation between us only because of the body. Now, we need to a little bit understand what this means, because it's not so simple. Why is it not so simple? Because it's all very good to say how the neshama works in a source. But we're functioning right now in the neshama down here, the way it's, all right? And it's not, maybe it's not so simple just to say that all bodies are, only the bodies are different, neshama is all one, but the neshama, part of the neshama that's conscious and coming into ourselves is different, right? So the pshat obviously is like this. The source of the neshama remains the source of the neshama that's in the body. Yeah, it's true that when the neshama comes into the body, it is different, it functions differently to everyone else's neshama. And there are differences. And there are people that nurture the neshama better or worse than someone else. There are people that use the neshama to do better things or worse things than someone else. But if you start focusing on the neshama, you have to focus on the whole neshama. And the neshama, the way it is in its shoyrish, in its root, in its origin, influences the neshama, how it functions here. Because we're not, in other words, the part of the neshama that's mislabish, that's enclosed in the body, and perhaps affected by the body, the nefesh habamis, that's not, that you have to look at that neshama as part of the whole neshama. You have to take it back to its source, which we'll soon see in a second what that means. Okay. So that's what he says. So that's the pathway to v'havta l'reicha kamoicha. You have to focus on your neshama, not your guf. Now, he says a famous thing. He said, "V'zeh shakos of Hillel zaku." So this is what Hillel meant. Famous Gemara. The Gemara says, talks about a person that came to Hillel and wanted to convert. And he said, "Teach me, I'll convert, but I want you to teach me the entire Torah 1 foot." Right? So Hillel Zakan said, he told him basically, he did it in a different way. He said, "What you don't like done to yourself, don't do to other people. That's the whole Torah. The rest is commentary." So all the Mefarshim battle with this, because we know the Torah has two parts, between Adam Lachavera, between man and man, and man and God, right? So maybe you could say that V'haftar Eichel Moichel is the basis of all mitzvahs between Adam Lachavera, between man and man. Yeah, good. So in other words, if you have true Avas Yisrael, you won't steal, you won't insult, you won't shame, you won't get angry, you won't offend, you won't all these things, you won't damage someone else's, whatever, all the mitzvahs that are between man and man. Good. But because I love another person unconditionally, I'll put on tefillin. I'll light Shabbos candles. Why? Why is that the basis of tefillin or Shabbos candles or belief in Hashem or anything? Right? So there are mefarshim in the Gemara. They actually learn the Gemara a bit differently. That when he meant it's the foundation of the Torah, he didn't mean the whole Torah. He meant it's the foundation of the mitzvahs between man and man. Similar to what Rabbi Akiva said on the Pasuk, "Ve'ahavtal re'acha kamoicha," Rabbi Akiva said, "Ze klal gadol b'Torah." This is a big rule in the Torah. What do you mean? You mean it's an encompassing mitzvah. In other words, it's a foundational thing. If you really like someone properly, then you won't violate any of the other mitzvahs. You won't take revenge, you won't bear a grudge, or you won't jealous. All these things will just be a flow on from having, if you, right? You're not jealous of yourself. You're not jealous of people that you love unconditionally. It says in Gemara, a person is not jealous of their child. All these things, because they're all people that you have unconditional love for, and therefore that will extend to everyone. But the Alter Rebbe doesn't learn like that. The Alter Rebbe says, no, it's actually literal. It's a foundation for the entire Torah. Why? So what he says. Zeh shekol lev Hillel azok al kiyum mitzvah zu. And this is what Hillel said. on the fulfillment of this mitzvah, Zeu kol ha-Torah kula. This is the entire Torah. V'idoch pirushahu. And the rest is commentary. Kula. Why is that? So the Rebbe is going to say like this. What is the rest of the Torah? What is the foundation of the rest of the Torah? What is it? In other words, how does a Yid really serve Hashem with all the mitzvahs? So he brings two ideas. He says like this, which are connected, but they're two ideas. He says, Ki yisoid v'shoyresh kol ha-Torah. What is the foundation of the entire Torah? What is the perspective that a Yid has that will bring to the fulfillment of the entire Torah? Hu lehagbia v'laha'alois ha-nefesh al-aguf maila maila. The base of the entire Torah is to elevate the neshama over the body and to continuously connect the neshama that we have maila maila, upwards, 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 ad ikra v'sharsha b'chol almin, to the root and the origin of the world. Right? In other words, the basis of the entire Torah is elevating the neshama over the body. Not just elevating the neshama, but elevating the neshama all the way to its source. To understand the neshama at its very, very source. The three levels that the Alter Rebbe spoke about before. When a person focuses on doing that, so it's going to bring the whole Torah. Right? Now, when a person does that, when a person elevates his neshama to its highest level, it must be that he has proper avas yisrael. Because if he talks about elevating his neshama and he doesn't have avas yisrael, that means he hasn't elevated his neshama to its source. Correct? So it's an unbelievable thing, this, because the way the Mefarshim explained it, it goes two ways. There's a cause and an effect. And you can start either way. In other words, if a person wants to reach Avas Yisrael, really Avas Yisrael, or a person wants to do what it says in Tanya, to elevate his neshama, so like this, if you elevate your neshama, if you focus on your neshama, you give it primacy, and you show the neshama is higher than the guf, but to the highest level of the neshama, connecting the neshama, not just the neshama that we have it here, but connecting the neshama to its highest level, then obviously is going to be a flow on. Right? And actually works the other way around also. If a person really works on the Avas Yisrael, there is no way you can do that without focusing on the neshama, without elevating the neshama. There's no way you can do it. Real Avas Yisrael. Yeah, a lot of people that are very nice people. That's not Avas Yisrael. Let's start with Haftal Recha Kamecha. Haftal Recha Kamecha means that Lemigodol v'at katan, from big to small, the fact that he has a neshama means he's one with me. He's equal to me. He's one with me. We are one body. We are one entity. That's what v'aftal recha kamecha really means. It means I love him like I love myself. In other words, because we're one. Therefore, I have intrinsic, irrational, unconditional love for myself. I do exactly the same for him. Because he's part of me. The Tzemach Tzedek, and the Tzemach Tzedek has a very long piece in a sefer called Derech Mitzvah on Avas Yisrael. He refers to the Tanya as well. And he asks the question, he says, we know that throughout the ages, the word tzaddikim, they really didn't sin. The Gemara talks about sin, people also, but we know also, like, he gives an example of the Arizal. The Arizal we know was like a different league altogether. He was like, yeah. Yet when it came to Yom Kippur, because it works always, right? It came to Yom Kippur, but Rizal said vidu, he said, Al-Chayt, he did Shuvah. He said, you know, Al-Chayt, that we sinned, that we stole, that we were arrogant, that we were this or that. Things that are not even, if you would translate them in the most refined way, they're not in Rizal's world, so why did he say it? He said, because it goes both ways, because it works in Avas Yisrael. He loved another Yid unconditionally because that Yid is like him. But also therefore he felt the pain of another Yid when they did something wrong. When he did something wrong, it was his body. Right? When your foot is hurting, your whole body wants to go to the doctor. Your whole body is looking for a cure, not just the foot. Right? And therefore, the Hillel said, this is in fact the entire, this is the entire Torah. It's a very high, it's a very big madrega, this. I mean, it's like, well, it takes a lot of work. If you understand the real meaning of after Eichach HaMoicha, right? Because we are judgmental, bottom line, is what we know. We're quick to highlight the failings of someone else, right? We're not so quick to highlight our own failings, but we should sometimes. But yeah, as long as you see a guy, it's clearly not on the level. And to really believe, no, he's mamash the same like the holiest Jew, exactly the same. Which, by the way, and I've said this before about the way, you know, I used to observe the way the Rebbe would, you know, in the Rebbe's talks, and it doesn't mean that you don't then try to bring him closer to Yiddishkeit just because I accept it completely. On the contrary, try more, because he's part of me. So I want what's good for me. I love him unconditionally, but also I'm going to put more effort into him unconditionally.
You feel his exile.
Sorry?
You feel his exile.
Yeah? You feel what he doesn't have? Again, same muscle. If your foot is hurting, you're going to try more. You're not going to judge your foot. You're not going to say, "Well, why are you not functioning properly?" At the same time, you're going to much more put effort in to make him better, because it's yours. Because it's you. That's why. Is that? Therefore, that's why. Because our whole purpose in life, and that relates to the whole Torah. Why? That's why I put on tefillin. That's why I do a mitzvah. That's why I do everything. That's why I try my best to improve my Yiddishkeit all the time. Why? Because the focus is on the neshama. I'm trying to connect my neshama to its source. I'm trying to align my neshama with its source. So that brings all mitzvahs. That is all mitzvahs. That's the whole term. But Avos Yisrael is the test. Because if I can't have Avos Yisrael, it means I haven't reached there. I might be doing mitzvahs, but I'm not there. I'm not fulfilling what Tanya wants me to fulfill. That's why Perek Lamed Beis is the lave of Tanya. It's the heart of Tanya. It's the essence of Tanya. Because if you don't work on this, all your mitzvahs are affected. Yeah, a lot of us do mitzvahs robotically. Fine, we're doing it. But that's not the purpose. That's not the ultimate goal. Ultimate goal is to do mitzvahs because I'm connected to Hashem, and my neshama is pure and yechid, and I want to connect my neshama to its source. And okay. That's part one. Part two, he says, we also have another role, another foundation. וגם להמשיך אויר אין סוף ברוך הוא בכנסת ישראל. כמו שכל מסלג הבא. Abroad not only is to elevate our neshama upwards, but also to bring Hashem, to bring the light of Hashem, the infinite light of Hashem, into us. Now, he says something very interesting. He says, the way we do it, we have to bring it into Knesset Yisrael. Knesset Yisrael in Chassidus means not the Jewish people, it means the source of the neshama, which will then flow onto us. In other words, when we bring Hashem into our existence, we draw Hashem into our existence, right? Hashem is infinite, Hashem is pure. So the manifestation of Hashem, the revelation of Hashem, has to happen in a place that's conducive. It's got to come into a place that's conducive for His presence. So the way it works, when we bring Hashem down into the world, we first bring him down into the Knesset Yisrael, which is the root of the neshama, right? Because that's where the meeting point between us and Hashem, so to speak, is. It's really what also Knesset Yisrael sometimes is what we mean by Malchus, bringing down the level of Malchus. That's where, like, the meeting point between the Chasn and the Kala, between the right and the end. But the problem is, why is that a good place to bring down the Shekhinah? Because lemeve echad beechad davke, the Shekhinah properly comes down into the source of the neshamas when there's oneness. Because bringing down Hashem means you bring down the oneness of Hashem. The oneness of Hashem comes down to a context of oneness.
So the way we create a dira, the tachtoinim, is actually through our neshama. That's how
Yeah, of course. Then we influence the guf, and then we transform the guf, and we try to bring it into the world.
But that is the path.
Exactly. But it has to be oneness. V'loy k'sheyesh pirut chas v'shalom. But not when there's division chas v'shalom b'neshamas. Why? Because when there's division between the neshamas, then the keli, the oneness, is blemished. And it says, the kutshabrichu loy shariyar ba'asar pagim. Hashem does not rest in a blemished vessel. Like it's written, we've mentioned this many times, Barcheinu avinu kolanu ka'echa. Bless us, Hashem, all as one, which we say that every day in the Amidah, and what it literally means is just bless all of us as one. But it actually means something different. It means Barcheinu avinu, when does Hashem, Barcheinu means to bring down, blessing means to bring down. When does Hashem bless us? Kolanu ka'echa, when we're all like one. Right? So therefore, either way, elevation and bringing down, aliyah and amshacha, elevating an neshama upwards, bringing Hashem downwards into the source of our neshamas, both of them are predicated on real Avas Yisrael. And therefore, and that's the role of all Yiddishkeit, the role of every mitzvah. I'll give you an example. Many people say before mitzvahs, we don't say in Chabad, we only say it once a day. But it's the same thing. We say, why are we doing mitzvahs? We say, so a lot of people say this before any mitzvah, like before lighting candles or before tefillin or before tzitzis, whatever. They say, l'shem yichud kutsho brichu u'shechinte. I'm doing this mitzvah to bind together kutsho brichu, which is one name for Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the way that Hashem is transcendent, it's the masculine part of Hashem. The shechinte and the shechina. The shechina is the female, the feminine power, which is the source of the neshamas. And I want to bring them together. I want to bring the transcendent down into the shechina. Right? The way we say it is, l'shem yichud k'shabrichu shechinte le'yachado. We say before Baruch Shamar, to make this oneness, yud kei b'vav kei, which is also the same thing of connecting the two parts of Hashem's name, yud and hei, which is the transcendent, vav and hei, which is more the feminine part. Right? And we ended up by saying, b'shem kol Yisrael, the name of all the Jewish people. That oneness, that unity, right? Like the Alter Rebbe talks about later in Tanya. But that, in other words, that's the purpose of all mitzvahs. So that unity, that oneness, is therefore critical to all parts of the foundations of Yiddishkeit. To get there, you have to learn the first 31 chapters and try and apply them, right? but and that's about the nefesh of a kiss and understanding and the oneness of Hashem and everything gashmias and physical is really insignificant, and go through the perek of Chof Aleph and Chof that we did before 2021. It talks about Hashem and understanding that Averis separate us from Hashem. All these things. It all leads to one path. To all understanding the oneness of the neshama and connecting the neshama with its root, and that's the only real existence. And therefore, V'avtorecha k'moich is a flow on from that. Now, before we finish, let me just share with you something that the Rebbe explains in a sicha. Going back to the beginning, he said that we have to not focus on the guf, focus on the neshama. And he said the neshama, the way it is in its shayrish and its origin. And he said three things. He said even when the neshama, when you focus on the neshama, you come to v'haftorecha k'mocha, right? And he said three things. First of all, in its source, even when there are differences between the neshamas, how do you know what's more different? How do you know, right? Okay. Secondly, he says, even when there's multiple neshamas, but they're really equal. Then he really says, on the highest level, they're not even equal. They're just Ab Echad Lon, as one father, and it's all one neshama. Okay. The question is, why does the Alter Rebbe have to mention all three things? Right?
Could have gone to the last one.
Could have gone to the last one. Just say really simple. Go back to the source of the neshama, we really won. Finished. End of story. Right? Why does he have to go, you understand? All these three things are true, but why is it necessary for this explanation? And the Rebbe explains like this, the following. So it's a theme that the Rebbe has numerous times. But he says like this, the true Avas Yisrael, the true Ve'ahavta Re'acha Kamocha, comes from the third one. To understand that we are actually intrinsically one. But it then has to flow on to the first one. In other words, like this. There is a level, where you're not different. The neshamas are different. Even in source, how much more so down here, right? one's a head neshama, one's a foot neshama, and so on and so forth. Right? When you achieve Avas Yisro, right? When you achieve Avas Yisro, only because of the last one, in other words, the deepest one, that we actually only won, your Haftal Reicha Kumoich is still not complete. Because it's coming from the ignoring of differences. Which means on the level of differences, we're not having proper Avas Yisro. Now, so it starts from the third one. It starts from understanding that intrinsically we're all 100% one. So I'll give you a mashal. For example, look at the human body. For even like human body, right? That's right. Right? If someone were to say, what do I value more, my head or my foot? So you could say, that's a stupid question. It's all me. It's all me. Yeah, that's true. It's all me. That's all me. In other words, because even the body works like that. The body works like that. On one level, there's no differences. Because my foot's not less alive than my head. Right? All alive at once. So I just value every part of me. That's very nice. But when you acknowledge the differences, what do you value more? So a rational person will say, my head, of course, or the power of sight, for example, right?
Yeah.
So then we have to know, no, it's not true. Because even there you have to know, how do you know what's greater than that? For example, yeah, obviously a person cannot do anything without his head, right? He has to be able to see, he has to be able to think, etc., etc. But let's say there's a purpose to the world. Purpose is for him to go and do something. But he doesn't have feet, can't do it. Doesn't have a mouth, can't talk. Doesn't have hands, can't write, whatever, right? So it means what your head decided you should do is all worthless. So on one level, the feet are more important than the head, right? Now, Alter Rebbe brings this in the very famous Maamar, which we started to learn about Atam Nitzavim. He brings this idea that there's the woodchoppers and the heads and the woodchopper. Yeah, and says each one has a mila. So the Alter Rebbe says he brings all three because obviously the greatest Avas Yisrael is when you understand that intrinsically we're completely one. There's no differences. And that's the starting point, that an Hashem is connected to its ultimate source where it's completely one and there's no differences, and therefore, that's it, you accept every person. But it's more than that. It then has to be translated that even at the level where you acknowledge there are differences, how do you know which difference is greater than the other? How do you know which difference is more valuable than the other? It's very nice to have a general, but what happens if you have a general without foot soldiers? So who's accomplishing the war better? Who's winning the war more? Who's more valuable? We don't know. There's in each one there's a greatness that the other one doesn't have. So when you start off by understanding we're all one, then you can translate it even, then it can become complete. Even at the level where we are different, says the Alter Rebbe, how do you know who's greater? That's also important. Because then the Avos Yisrael can filter through completely. So this is all to explain how we accomplish this idea of unconditional love. Haftal recha kamoicha. So it's very different than just being nice to other people or loving other people even. Because often loving other people, at the end of the day, it has some level of rationale to it. This is not level of rationale. This is getting to the point where the other yid is mamash like me. Kamoicha. On all levels. And that's a big avoider, and that is the foundation of Yiddishkeit. Because it can only happen through this idea of the neshama. In the second part of this perek, Alter Rebbe is going to bring from certain sources, like how does it fit in to certain sources in the Gemara where we find that sometimes like it's a mitzvah to hate someone even, hating evil, how does that work, if a person is evil, and how does that all work, and explain how that all translates practically. But that's the concept. Good. Thank you. Welcome.